Welcome to Akhotra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhotra AI. You're listening to The Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a fascinating look at the source material you shared on Alka Joshi's really captivating novel, The Henna Artist.
Mm-hmm.
We're dropped right into 1950s Jaipur, the famous Pink City. It's a time of huge change, you know, just after India's independence.
And it's crucial to understand the author's perspective here. Alka Joshi, she's Indian American, and she's doing something quite powerful, sort of bridging these two worlds, two eras.
Right.
She uses this specific historical moment to explore, well, the often untold stories of women fighting for their own lives, their own choices within these really rigid social structures. It's a deep look at agency.
And right at the center is Lakshmi Shastri. She's 30, but she's completely reinvented herself.
Hmm.
A real self-made woman.
Absolutely. She's become the go-to henna artist for Jaipur's high society. Her success is built on, well, a few key things. Incredible skill, ambition, definitely.
And secrets. Lots of secrets.
Oh, absolutely. Meticulous secrecy. She's come from, you know, escaping an abusive marriage, basically nothing, to being this respected figure. Though, as you pointed out, she's still kind of on the edge, looking in.
So our goal today, I think, is to really trace her journey. How does she go from this very solitary figure focused on independence, almost purely material,
financial independence,
into someone who finds strength in connection, in healing? It's quite a transformation.
It really is. A move from isolation to, well, something more like resilience through community.
Okay, let's start with her life before everything gets turned upside down.
Yeah.
Her life in Jaipur seems so successful, so carefully managed.
It is. On the surface, it's all about the beautiful henna art. That's her way in, her access to the private lives of these wealthy memsahibs.
But the real power, the real currency she trades in, it's something else entirely, isn't it?
Exactly. It's not just the art. She becomes their confidant. She hears everything their fears about infertility, unhappy marriages, the immense pressure to have sons.
Deeply personal stuff.
Yeah, very. And she doesn't just listen. She offers solutions, discreetly, of course. We see her mixing these specialized herbal remedies.
So things like contraceptives, even abortifacients, which, wow, in that context, that's significant power she wields.
It's huge. That knowledge, the ability to provide these secrets, these sometimes forbidden solutions, it makes her indispensable to them.
It's kind of an inversion of power, isn't it? These high society women depend on her. Someone from a lower caste, someone who's technically an outcast herself.
Precisely. Their social standing doesn't matter when they need her specific skills and discretion. It's all built on this transactional trust. That's the bedrock of her success.
And all this hard work, all the risk, it's all funneled towards one big dream, her own house. Designed by Samir Singh, the architect, that house feels like more than just a building.
Oh, it's everything to her. It symbolizes complete freedom. Think about it, 1950s India, a woman like Lakshmi, owning property, building a house to her own specifications, that's, well, it's radical.
It's her escape route made tangible? Her ultimate statement against the system she ran away from?
Yeah, it perfectly captures that idea we saw in the notes. Independence is not given, it is taken. One careful choice at a time. That house is those careful choices made real.
A fortress, really. Her security.
Yeah.
And while she's building this financial fortress, she does let one person in just a little. Malik.
Malik. Her young assistant. He's street smart, loyal. He's the first hint of a potential found family, you could say.
But still secondary, right? The house, the independence, that's the main focus. Everything is tightly controlled.
Very much so. Her control is absolute. Or so she thinks.
Which brings us to the moment it all starts to unravel. Her success depends on her past staying hidden. What happens when it doesn't? When Hari shows up.
It's like an earthquake. Just shatters everything she's built.
Yeah.
Hari, her estranged husband, the one she fled, he just appears.
And he's not alone.
No. He brings Radha with him, Lakshmi's 13-year-old sister-in-law. Someone Lakshmi has never even met before.
Talk about destabilizing.
Yeah.
Hari is literally the past walking back into her life. And it's not just emotional baggage, is it? There's a real legal threat there, too.
A huge one. Despite all her success in the eyes of the law, she's still his wife. Her earnings, her future home. Technically, legally, it could all belong to him. It highlights just how fragile her independence really is.
Hari is the past she can't escape. But Radha. Radha seemed like the immediate complication, the catalyst for change.
Exactly. Radha represents something different. She's young, drawn to the glamour of the city, the modern freedoms she glimpses, but she's completely unprepared for it.
And Lakshmi tries to clamp down, right? Becomes protective, strict, trying to shield her from the dangers she knows are lurking in that high society.
Which, of course, Radha resents. She sees Lakshmi not as a protector, but more like a jailer.
Yeah.
And this highlights the central paradox you mentioned earlier. Lakshmi moves within the circles of the powerful, knows their secrets, but she's never truly one of them. Her status relies entirely on being useful and keeping quiet.
Keeping their secrets, specifically.
Yes. As she puts it somewhere, secrets were my currency. I traded in them, bartered with them, and used them to buy myself a life.
Wow. That's blunt.
It is. But she finds out the hard way that a life bought with secrets rests on, well, very shaky ground.
And we see just how shaky when Radha starts acting out. She's looking for the freedom Lakshmi restricts, and she finds it, or thinks she finds it, with Ravi Singh.
Oh, Ravi. Charming, rich, brother of Parati Singh, who is Lakshmi's most important client. A classic womanizer.
You can just feel the disaster brewing, can't you? Lakshmi seems to sense it, but she's so caught up managing her client's dramas.
Exactly. She's juggling all these elite secrets, trying to keep her business afloat, keep her dream house on track, and she misses the crisis happening right under her nose.
Until it blows up. Radha gets pregnant.
And Ravi. Predictably, he denies everything. Protects his family name, his status, utterly callous.
And in Jaipur society, news like that, it travels fast.
Like wildfire. The source material calls gossip the lifeblood of Jaipur society. Here, it becomes pure poison, and it's all directed at Lakshmi.
What's so brutal is how the class system just slams down. The wealthy clients, led by Parvati Singh, who must be furious and embarrassed.
Oh, deep.
They don't blame Ravi, the wealthy man responsible. They turn on Lakshmi immediately. She's the outsider, the source of the corruption, the one who let this happen.
It's a stark reminder, isn't it? Why were their secrets safe when Lakshmi was helping them hide things? But the moment scandal touches them through someone connected to Lakshmi, she's completely disposable.
The double standard is glaring.
It's cruel. Their loyalty was always conditional. They protected their own and threw her to the wolves the second it suited them.
The fallout is catastrophic. Her business, gone overnight. Her reputation, ruined.
And the final blow, the truly devastating one. Samir Singh pulls the funding for her house publicly.
Wow. He snatches away the very symbol of her independence.
Her dream is just dead in the water. That vision of solitary, self-made success, it completely collapses. She really has to hit rock bottom.
But it's from that low point that something new starts to emerge, isn't it? She has to make an incredibly difficult choice about Radha.
Yes. She realizes she has to protect Radha, save her from total ruin. And she turns to her forbidden knowledge, the traditional herbal skills, not for profit this time, but for protection.
She performs an abortion on Radha.
Using her own methods. It's a harrowing scene born out of sheer necessity, but it's also a turning point.
How so?
Because in that shared trauma, that incredibly painful act, a real bond forms between them, a deeper protective sisterhood forged in crisis.
It feels like that's the moment her definition of strength begins to shift. It's not about building walls anymore.
Exactly. She's forced to let go of that purely material ambition. True strength, she starts to see, isn't in being isolated, but in connection, in taking responsibility. She has to move beyond being just a fortress.
There's that powerful quote reflecting this change, right?
Yeah.
About being a peninsula.
Yes. I had learned to be a fortress, but I had also learned that I was not an island. I was a peninsula connected to a mainland of family. It's beautiful. She finally accepts that interconnectedness she'd always feared.
Vulnerability becomes a different kind of strength.
Precisely. So with her old life in Jaipur basically destroyed, she focuses on Radha's future, gets her into a school in Shimla, away from the scandal.
A fresh start for Radha. But what about Lakshmi? She can't just go back to applying henna for the elite.
No, that life is over. Her new path comes through Dr. Jay Kumar. He's a compassionate figure who sees her skill, her knowledge, separate from the morally gray areas she operated in before.
He offers her a different kind of opportunity.
A legitimate one. Right. He asks her to run a community healing dispensary in Shimla, using her knowledge of herbs and healing, but for genuine community service, not just managing the secrets of the rich.
No, it's a way to use her skills with purpose, not just for profit or access.
Exactly. It's a shift from transaction to meaning. And then the final piece falls into place.
Malik.
She officially takes him under her wing, brings him to Shimla to ensure he gets an education alongside Radha. She actively builds that found family she was hesitant about before.
So she walks away from the ruins of that first big dream.
The big house, the solitary independence.
And moves towards something built on interdependence, community, and purpose.
It really challenges that conventional idea of success, doesn't it? That your first goal is the only one that matters. Sometimes real fulfillment only comes after loss, forces you to redefine what you're actually aiming for.
And it's fascinating how she uses these ancient arts, henna, traditional medicine, to carve out a modern, independent life for herself.
Mm-hmm.
That tension between tradition and modernity is always there.
Absolutely. And the henna itself, it works so well as a symbol. Intricate, beautiful patterns requiring discipline, mirroring the constraints and freedoms in her life.
But also temporary. It fades.
Just like her status in Jaipur society. It was always fragile, always dependent on forces outside her control, liable to be washed away.
The book really immerses you in that world, the sights, the smells of Jaipur. But what stays with you, I think, is Lakshmi's quiet courage.
Mm-hmm. Her choice to walk away from the dream she thought defined her, towards something maybe less glamorous but ultimately more meaningful.
It makes you think, doesn't it? That true resilience might mean letting go of the first draft of your life and bravely starting a new one.
It really forces you to ask yourself, what defines success for you? Is it the fortress or the connection? Wealth or purpose?
A lot to think about there.
Definitely.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.